We're going to make our fiscal year 2018 budget presentation. Mr. President, members of council, I have our budget letter here that I'd like to present to you, and then we will move down to the podium to make the formal presentation. As required by Title IX, Chapter 70, Section 70003D5 of the Delaware Code, I respectfully submit the proposed annual operating budget for Sussex County for fiscal year 2018. The FY18 proposed budget was developed by a budget team consisting of the County Administrator, the Finance Director, and the Deputy Finance Director. This recommended budget was drafted after receiving individual requests from each county department and meeting with the respective directors to discuss their needs. Many of them and their staff are in attendance today in this council chambers. We greatly appreciate the efforts of the directors and their staff in assisting us in producing this budget. The fiscal 2018 forecast is consistent with the fiscal 2017 forecast, to which we are seeing positive growth in the real estate market. Fiscal 17 revenues from the housing sector are expected to be 5% over fiscal 16. The county's largest revenue source, realty transfer tax, is expected to climb to over $20 million for the fourth year in a row. Although demand for county services continue to increase and the shift of costs from the state to the county loom, we took a conservative approach to the expansion of the county government. While the realty transfer tax trajectory is expected to continue to climb for the fourth year in a row, RTT is budgeted in both operating and capital funds. Relying on all RT collection of operations does present a risk due to the volatile nature of this funding. The county's budgeting principles remain as follows. Prepare a balanced budget with minimum increases, maintain an operating reserve of at least 25%, continue to fund above the actuarial determined level of funding for pension and pension benefits, operate without tax-supported debt, maintain a AA strong bond rating. The budget was prepared with some assumptions. We assume that the county will continue to receive 1.5% of realty transfer tax on eligible properties in unincorporated areas, and its cost share percentages with the state of Delaware will remain the same. If this state were to change these revenue sources or pass any legislation that would further cut our revenues or raise our expenses, we would have to reevaluate the entire budget. I want to thank the County Council for its leadership and continued fiscal responsibility, which have helped build a strong foundation that has allowed this government to continue to live within its means. Sussex County's economy continues a positive trend, and while I remain optimistic about the county's future, I believe we must act responsibly and resist the pressures to haphazardly grow government. The positive trends have allowed the county to respond to the calls for additional services while focusing on the areas of greatest need. This philosophy governs the decisions in developing this year's budget and provides guidance throughout the year as we fulfill our fiduciary duty to the citizens of this great county. Mr. President, I'd like to move down to the podium now with Ms. Jennings, and we will present the fiscal year 2018 budget proposal.
We are anxiously awaiting.
Okay. As we prepare to get set up with the proposal, as you know, the budget process each year consists of several weeks, if not months, to bring forth today's proposal. That includes meeting with every department head, as I mentioned earlier. We put together a proposal that we then present to the County Council. The County Council goes through an all-day workshop whereby we go over these specifics based on the review and the direction from those proposals. We put together today's budget presentation. I believe you have a copy before you, which we will go through. And it is quite a lengthy presentation this year, unlike previous years. We do have a number of details that we need to present to you in this forum to make sure that we have proper direction before the formal introduction of the budget. I am joined by staff in case there are other technical questions within their department for us to answer. So let's begin. I always like to take a look back and reference and summarize some of the accomplishments of the current budget we're operating under right now to let you know what the county staff is focused on and some of the initiatives that were approved in the current budget that we're working on right now. It also sets the foundation for where we're moving towards in FY18. For fiscal year 17, we've added so far $104 million of additional money to our assessment rolls. We've started to implement and are near completion of the CAMA system. As you see, there is a picture of our property cards in the top right for all 170,000 property records that we have stored in this building. At some point, those will all be online. They've already been scanned. We'll be able to archive those cards and free up that space and also make them accessible to the public via our internet. Our field inspectors are now using mobile tablets to enter building inspection results. We've assisted over 200 homes with housing repairs, implemented Pulse Point, received the 2016 Occupational Excellence Award for National Safety Council, completed a county multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan. All of these accomplishments were listed in the large budget presentation presented by the department heads. These are their accomplishments listed by them within their departments. Again, this is just a summary of some of the accomplishments, of which we also reviewed during our workshop. We launched a new revitalized Department of Libraries website, enacted a new county road and drainage regulation, digitized all the county zoning maps, experienced an additional 34% decrease in workers' comp costs over the last 3 years, and received the GFOA's Comprehensive Annual Financial Statement Award. This slide shows some of the statistics and activity that we are experiencing currently. This is a great snapshot of how busy county staff currently is in servicing our residents and visitors alike. We've completed 31,965 utility locates. Anytime someone calls for a missed utility locate, a county employee goes out to locate the county sewer. Maintained 69,000 sewer accounts, completed 7 annexations to the Unified Sanitary Sewer District, approved 65 construction plans and plan revisions for private roads, inspected 253 private road development projects, decreased the development plan review turnaround to an average of 11 days, processed and tracked over $118 million of the developer's performance securities and replaced 76 pumps throughout the Unified Sanitary Sewer District. This slide focuses on our land use and realty sector activity, as well as our demands on public safety, specifically our paramedics. At the top, you see Planning and Zoning Office's process, 21 change of zones, 24 conditional uses, 20 subdivisions, 120 site plans, and 209 Board of Adjustment applications. That's a 34% increase in the process Board of Adjustment applications this year. Building code inspections are up more than 10%. Single-family home inspections are also up 10%. Taxable assessments have increased 3.5%, and our total building-related revenue is up 14% from last year to this year. In the public safety sector, we responded over 23,800 times to EMS calls for service, a 5% increase. We've improved our EMS scene arrival time by 12%, and we have finished construction of the Medic 104-100 station, which is located on Plantations Road, and Council will have groundbreaking for that new station later on this year, later on this summer. Okay, moving to 2018 budget and our recommended proposals for the upcoming year. The highlights include a general fund that's up $13.8 million. We are recommending a $10 million contribution to our pension funds, $1.7 million increase in personnel and benefit costs, an $836,000 increase in our public safety expenditures, $470,000 increase in repair and maintenance costs, and $600,000 for economic development programs, including our downtown development grants and our economic development grants. Total library funding is up $362,000 to $5.5 million. Our governmental capital plan will be without general fund debt and includes $13.4 million. No change in the county's property tax rate. But we will see an increase in some fees, including the Marriage Bureau, sewer connection fees, and plan review fees, which we will go over in some detail later in the presentation. I summarize the FY 2018 budget in three categories. This is where you'll see the benchmark of this year's budget. They include public safety, wastewater, infrastructure planning, and economic development. In the public safety field, we have $15.4 million budgeted for our Sussex County paramedic system, $3.4 million for our Sussex County 911 center, which houses our dispatchers as well as emergency preparedness, $2.9 million for additional Delaware State police troopers in Sussex County. That's a 738,000 increase from this year's budget, which we will go into detail about that request later. $3.6 million for fire and ambulance services. That's a $98,000 increase as well. And we'll continue our local law enforcement grants to towns in the sum of $575,000, which will help our local towns for their police needs. You will see in this budget significant funding out of our enterprise fund for wastewater planning. Some of the highlights include $10.5 million for the Wolf Neck conversion, $23.5 million for the Inland Bays Regional Facility for Treatment Expansion, and $43.9 million for the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility Capacity Expansion. Those projects, it should be noted, are multi-year and started this current budget and move into the FY18 budget. We will not be spending all of this funding in 1 year, but we do have to list it in this year's budget. And finally, economic development, $3.9 million for the new business park that was purchased, and $1.1 million for our IT and fiber initiative, bringing fiber and broadband to Sussex County, hopefully in places that currently do not see high-speed internet services. This is a slide we developed a few years ago, which is a really good indication of what the focus of this county and this county council has been in recent years for our budget and our spend of taxpayer dollars. So for all realty transfer tax and property tax that we anticipate to collect this year, for every dollar spent, 55 cents will be spent on public safety. Clearly the largest category within our budget. Next category being 15% for general government. That's just the expense of what it costs to run the government. 14 cents for libraries, 7 cents special services, and on down the line. So you can proudly say for every dollar spent in Sussex County, 55 cents is spent on public safety. Here's a summary of our proposal. General fund, I'll summarize, is $68.7 million. Capital projects general fund, $13.4 million. Water and sewer fund, $36.1 million. Capital projects water and sewer, $19.6 million. And our pension fund, $5.9 million, bringing the total of this year's proposal to $143,812,859. We'll move into a description of our general fund. I'll ask Ms. Jennings to join me to go into some detail relating to the general fund.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. We're going to start with some general fund highlights, many of which Mr. Lawson has touched base on them. There are no tax increases. We are using some savings to cover our costs. Even though there's no tax increases, we took a good look at our fees this year, so specifically Marriage Bureau and plan review fees. If you look at your complete budget document that's in front of you, there's actually descriptions of any fee that are not in code. We've outlined them there this year. Taxable assessments increased 3.5%, so that is the growth in the county through building permits. And building-related revenues are seeing a substantial increase, what we're using in the budget, of 14%. So you can see what we used in 2017 compared to 2018 in that change. And that change adds up to be $1.1 million. Moving on to the funding sources. So what is supporting our expenses this year? Our largest, as it has been in the past, is realty transfer tax at 29%. We're putting in $20.1 million. That is an increase from last year where we had $19 million. Property tax is the second, which is 24% or $16.7 million. The next increase that you'll see is other financing sources. Usually that part of the pie is not this high. What that is our savings that we're using. And because we're putting $10 million into the pension fund, we're using the savings to support that unfunded liability. So that's why there's an increase in that part. The charges for services is the same. It's about $12.2 million, and that's our normal fees, our building permit fees, planning and zoning fees, things like that. Intergovernmental is mostly the state funding the paramedics. We do have 30% in the budget, anticipating that they do keep the grant the same. Looking at our realty transfer tax trend and what we do have in the budget. So again, it's important to note we had a peak not too long ago in 2006, and it quickly declined to $13.1 million. We are anticipating about $25 million in 2017, and we have budgeted $20.1 million this year. That is in operations. What I wanted to do this year is note that we need to spend some of that in capital. Some of this realty transfer tax is being transferred into capital, which brings it to $24.1 million. So it's very close to what we anticipate to bring in. So I just want to caution that if the state were to cut any realty transfer tax, that it would have an effect on our budget since we are using most of it, whether it's in operation or it's in capital. As we mentioned, there is a few ordinances this year that we're asking for you to introduce. And the first one is the first-time home buyer credit. We had talked about this recently. What we're doing is limiting the credit to only the buyer's half of the 1.5%. This is what Newcastle County does. And we feel like it follows the original intent of the credit when that the state put it in their code. So our current transaction, the county doesn't receive any of the first-time home buyer transactions, so we get 0%. What we are asking is that the buyer still be exempt. They do not pay their 0.75%, but the seller pay their 0.75%. So the county will receive 0.75% on any of this first-time home buyer credit. Okay, as we look at our fees, we'll start with the Marriage Bureau. So the Marriage Bureau, which this is supported by the Clerk of the Peace, Jay Jones, you'll see a snapshot of the revenues and expenses over in the top right corner of the slide. You will see that the expenses exceed revenues, so they have an operational loss. So what we're trying to do is close that gap. So there's two proposals in this budget. One, recording fee is a new fee for $20. This is a fee that's already charged by Newcastle County. What would this do is cover the cost of our staff to record all marriage licenses in a database that they keep. So even if the marriage isn't performed by the clerk of the peace, we still have to keep this database and keep the marriage records. So we're asking to charge a $20 fee. We estimate that to bring in about $30,000 additional dollars by this $20. The next one is an increase for out-of-office ceremonies. So we looked at the time it's spent of our staff to go out of office, the mileage that they spent, the time on the road, the time at the ceremony, and making sure we're covering our costs here. And we feel that we could charge $25 more for each of those ceremonies. So right now we're charging $75 for residents, that would go to $100, and we're charging $150 for non-residents. We would like to increase that to $175. Okay, moving on to plan review fees. If you remember, Mr. Medlars came before you looking at Chapter 99 and 110 ordinances, and they discussed to make sure that the fees were taken out, and we look at it every year during the budget, making sure that we cover our costs. So there's two goals to this slide. We want to create a fee that accurately reflects the time spent on each type of review. We have the subdivision review, sewer review, and a water review. And then we want to make the three of them consistent so that on the third, fourth, and fifth reviews, the contractor knows what they're going to get billed for and why we're billing the way we're billing. So let's start with the subdivision fee. Right now, we're charging $2,000 for the whole review with the $42 per unit fee. Each additional review review is $20 per unit. You can look below sewer and water. They had a percentage of the original fee is what they were being billed. Subdivisions is more intense. It takes more of our staff time, therefore should be billed more to cover our cost. So we're asking for the fee to be $2,500, $500 increase, $42 per unit, and then structure the third and fourth reviews. So a third review, 60%, the next review wouldn't take as much time, 50%, and then the fifth review, 40%. About 10% of our reviews get to that third, fourth, and fifth review, and that's when we have to bring in the county engineer. There's some issues, and it costs money that we need to cover. So the sewer, same type of thing. The sewer they have right now, it's $500, then $20 a unit, plus $20 per pump station, and an extra increment for force main. So what we're doing is we're combining those fees and making it very similar to a subdivision, making it just a flat $2,000, $20 per unit, and then a 60, 50, 40. This is probably cost neutral. It's just a different structure to mock the way the subdivision is. Then moving on to water, this doesn't happen as much as the other two. Right now there's a $500 fee, $20 a unit, 60% fee. Talking to Mr. Medlars, the cost is in the actual review of the entire project and not at the unit price. So we're asking it to be $1,500 for the review and then lower the per unit cost to $10 and then 60, 50, and 40 at that point so that they all are in the same kind of structure. Other fees we looked at, bulk water. So as you know, we buy water from the city of Rehoboth. And we want to make sure we're covering our costs for what we pay the city of Rehoboth for. So right now, it's $3 a gallon. To cover their costs, cover our costs, it should be $4 per gallon. And these are only bulk water users. This isn't our typical user, everyday user in Dewey Water. Holding tank discharge, we're actually asking for a decrease because this is a compliance issue. We need people that are in our district that are currently on a holding tank to come to us. Let us know you have a holding tank so that we don't bill you our service charges. If you don't do that, you're getting a service charge, you're getting the $500 fee. So we feel if we lower this fee, because this is just an administrative fee to make sure that our records are correct. So we're asking to lower that. Emergency turnoff fee is right now $300. We would like it just to be an after-hours fee. So if our staff's already in the district's normal hours, you don't charge them. But if it's after hours, whether you're turning off or turning on the water, it'd be $300. And then the next two go hand in hand. They're industrial wastewater discharge. Significant industrial user and categorical industrial users, those are regulated at the federal level. Those are the only types of users we do have. Other industrial users would be something that we say, hey, we want to put you in this category. We don't plan on doing that. We'd like to just keep the first two together, what's regulated, and just charge all users $500, and then for the monitor, $250. So keeping the cost the same and just making it simple by adding the one fee. So moving on to the expenses after talking about our revenue side. So our expenses, as you can see, the largest, as it has always been in the past, are our paramedics. Their total budget this year is 15.4%, 22% of our budget. The next largest would be our general government at 13.3%, or 19% of the government. Again, that's just operations, administration, HR, IT, those types of things. Other financing uses and grant and aid are both at 17%. Our financing uses, again, that's a bigger slice of the pie than it had been in the past. This would be part of that $10 million contribution in there. So if you look at the pie altogether and you look at paramedics, emergency preparedness, their public safety, we have public safety and the grant and aid, that 38% of that entire pie is public safety, which is about $25.9 million that we spend in public safety. Now we're going to move on to personnel.
Okay, for the personnel summary listed here, like many other entities, the county is experiencing a rise in healthcare costs. We are attempting to deal with that rise in healthcare costs We anticipate $500,000 increase this year in our health care costs, with a $9.1 million budgeted total cost. That includes both county portion and employee contribution. We are asking county employees to pay a little more for their health care. Again, something you were seeing in other places where systems are rising costs of health care, requiring folks to pay more. What we are seeing in our biggest plan, meaning our plan with the most dependents, is our family plan, which would be an increase of over $700 annual for county employees. Under the pension, there's 25% of gross salaries. We are recommending an additional $10 million contribution. We are continuing our 3% contribution for new hires to their pension plan. Upcoming, this is not an election year with return day, so we have 11 paid holidays with 2 floating. We are increasing the on-call pay to 75 cents. That really is just to bring all on-call pay in line in uniform. There is a COLA, and there are merits, and those merits are based on performance. So, our recommendation this year is to increase staff. However, we are still down, and 42 positions from the year 2009. That increase comes with 8 personnel in the general fund and 2 in the enterprise fund, sewer fund. The personnel are listed here. We are requesting 2 paramedics, a project engineer, of which would be grant-funded, a new full-time inspector in building code, a new maintenance worker, new HR tech, a new planner in the planning and zoning office, a new technology engineer for IT, records management, getting a full-time clerk, and another pump technician for our sewer operations.
So looking at the pension contribution that I had brought up a couple of times here, every quarter I bring to you a pension update, and the first part of the slide just is a reminder that we have a total pension liability divided up into 2 areas, the OPEB, which is the health insurance side of pension, and then the actual regular pension. When you back out our assets, we have a liability that's currently unfunded at $37.9 million. We have a funded percentage of 79% in the pension and the OPEB of 65%. At one time, our pension was close to, it was in the 90s, and it has dropped. So we need to take a hard look at this and be able to sustain this going forward, that we made this commitment to the pensioners and that we would keep funding this. And some of these changes that occur that make this go down, assumptions have changed. Whether we had control over those assumptions or we're out there, there's new mortality tables, things like that. Also, we lowered the rate of return. We were not getting what we thought we would get on our assets. So we more realistically wanted to lower that. And we've made some plan changes as well. So we need to bring that back up. So my recommendation is to spend $10 million this year, moving from savings to our pension account, to help bring that funded percentage. So when you do that, that's in the green area. The additional contribution would bring our OPEB fund up to 75%, and then our pension fund to 84%.
Okay, moving on to grants. In a previous slide under expenditures, there was a breakout of all the county expenditures, and within that pie chart, there was a section of 17% grant and aid. Within that 17%, this pie chart represents all of that funding. As you can see, the significant majority of the funding in our grants program goes to public safety. Within that portion, it includes the Delaware State Police agreement, our funding for local volunteer fire companies and ambulance companies, as well as our local law enforcement grants to our Sussex County towns. In addition, 21% going to the 11 independent libraries located within Sussex County. And then our community assistance portion, 16%, that includes emergency housing repairs conducted through the Community Development and Housing Office, as well as our human service grants and our Councilmatic grants. Last 2% portion under agriculture and drainage is the partnership we have with the Conservation District.
So in that pie chart that Mr. Lawson just showed in the community assistance grants, there is this grant that we give to the towns that do not collect $20,000. And the chart depicts these towns in, over the last three fiscal years, what they have received. So this would require another ordinance change. So currently the ordinance is if a town doesn't receive $20,000, the county will grant a flat $15,000. So let's take a look at the town of Frankfort at the top line there. So in fiscal year 13, they collected $8,826. We gave them $15,000 because they didn't collect $20,000. But what we're recommending is let's give all the towns equal footing and collect the difference between what they collected up to the $20,000. So under this proposal, they would then collect $11,174. So what would happen is the proposed ordinance now would read, if the town and city does not collect $20,000, the county would grant the difference between what is collected and the $20,000. So it would be that third, that last column that you see in that table.
Okay, a critical element to today's budget discussion, I think, and the recommendation that we are putting forth involves the agreement that we have with the Delaware State Police. As this council knows, for nearly 20 years, the county has supplemented the state police coverage here in Sussex County, as was alluded to earlier, where there was a call for more protection, and the county stepped up and has contributed millions of dollars over nearly 20 years to add troopers to Sussex County's coverage. We were contacted in recent time by the state and asked to revisit our agreement with the state police. And in summary, they would like to arrange a new agreement and enter into a new agreement with the county. And whereby we used to say that we covered half of 44 or two or full of 22 troopers, we will now assume the full total and real cost of 22 troopers here in Sussex County. Right now we have a minimum staffing level of 187 troopers. That would remain in place. And in recent months, it's been trending at 192, or five additional troopers, in Sussex County. This proposal will cost the county additional money, which Ms. Jennings will go over in a minute. As a result, we have asked senior leadership within the state police to consider maintaining the current staffing levels of 192 here in Sussex County. I've had conversations with senior leaders within the state police. They are taking that request under consideration, and we will wait to hear back from them.
So the next bullets on this slide explain the difference in the contract that we have currently to what they are proposing and why we're seeing an increase. So currently we're capped at providing funding for the fifth year trooper first class salaries. But what they're saying is that if you had a troop of 22 troopers and that makeup was similar to what is in the state police, you would also have a lieutenant and you would have a corporal, so that whatever their allocation is as a percentage, that's who we should be supporting. So we now would support a master corporal, sergeant, lieutenant, up to their steps of 21. 20 years of service, they can retire. We would then pay shift differential, which we do not pay in the current contract, which would increase $42,000 to our contract. There are special pays that troopers incur. They have. It's $3,900 per year. We do not pay overtime currently. So if we were to pay the overtime of these 22 troopers, that would increase our contract $169,000. The agreement still has that we would give four patrol vehicles every year and keep that they get new vehicles every year for those four. So we're going to go on to the next slide just to look at the dollar amounts. So what you're seeing here is on that second column is the breakdown of the current DSP workforce. So what they're saying is 5% of their workforce are lieutenants. So if you took 22 and you took 5% of that, that's one trooper. So that would be the breakdown of what 22 workforce would look like. And it comes out, if you do the annual, the shift pay, the special pay, the new overtime that we're paying, the health, other employee costs, of course, that's workers' comp, we're looking at a $2.9 million contract. Now, as we were preparing the budget, we already knew what our contract was going to look like in 2018, and that was supposed to be close to $2.3 million. So we get this call, and now we're seeing a $678,000 increase as the budget was coming to an end. So we can support this. We would support it using savings that we have currently. It is in the budget. But I need you to also consider, look at the other table down below. So if council chose not to fund the additional cost, we're looking at a decrease of 5 troopers. So how I'm coming up with that, I plug in 17 troopers, and I look at that allocation, that cost would be $2,293,000, which is about $35,000 from what we expected. So by doing this, you're supporting that, and we're able to get those 5 additional troopers without losing the 5 additional troopers. We fund other public safety besides DSP. As you can see in this chart, DSP is at the top, and you can see the increase of what it was in the 17 budget. Local law enforcement, as Mr. Lawson mentioned, this is $25,000 per town. We are continuing to fund their grant. Fire BLS, continuing theirs, they're seeing a $100,000 increase, which is the result of the economy and the building permits. And the chart below, you can see that they have seen increases. 2015 was due to an extra grant they had received from surplus that we collected. 2016 went up. 2017, that's the budgeted number. I anticipate 2017 will be above 2016. And then when it's all said and done in 2018, I would expect that to also be higher than 2017. So those are our county partnered. We also have our county-owned public safety, and those are our paramedics and our dispatch center. So EMS, you can see their budget down below, and you can see that it has increased to support the services that are being required. Over those 10 years, they are seeing an over 30% increase in incidences. Same type of trend on the emergency preparedness 911 side. They also have seen close to a 30% increase over the 10 years, and you also see the cost of funding increasing. Okay, moving on to general fund capital. These are our long-term projects. They take usually multiple years to complete. This is what supports our capital fund project. Our largest is savings at $8.5 million. This is normal. This is why we do have savings and why we do put money aside so that we do not have to obtain debt. So as you can see, we're continuing with that trend. But as I stated before, we are anticipating $4 million of realty transfer tax to support this as well. So we would hope that that funding would stay and that we would put $4 million to help. And then we get some state and federal grants. Most of that is for the airport.
Okay, some of the major projects listed under general fund capital this year are listed here. Continued focus on public safety. In this current budget, you did approve the construction of a new mobile command unit. We anticipate delivery of that mobile command unit this summer. To close out that project, we're anticipating $400,000. We are going to continue with our trend of purchasing property and building our own paramedic stations. We've earmarked $950,000 for that. This is a site plan design of our current construction within the 104-100 station, which will be open in a few weeks down in the Lewis area. In the airport, continuing our upgrades there, electrical upgrades, $500,000. Pavement and taxiway improvements, $2.01 million. We did have a major pavement compromise this year with an airplane coming into a loft that we need to address. Stormwater and other improvements listed there as well. Here's a shot of our airport master plan shown in yellow along with the potential extension of our airport down on the left-hand bottom corner. All of these efforts are moving forward under the master plan that was approved years ago. Probably one of the biggest notes in FY17 was the purchase of the property next to our current industrial park, which will turn to our Sussex County Business Park. That is listed here as a site design. If you've driven by the property recently, you'll see the construction of the new 40,000 square foot Atlantis Industries building, which is the first tenant for the county in the new business park. Of course, we're going to have to construct the road, put in the infrastructure, and make the connection to our interior roads. We've earmarked $3.9 million for that, and $250,000 for improvements to our water plant. We continue to maintain our landfills, $150,000 related to that activity. And then last, $1.7 million for building and building improvements, including the construction of the new maintenance building here at our airport, and then our fiber initiative to extend fiber using county assets, state assets, and private assets throughout the county. This is a snapshot of some of our IT department's thoughts on that initiative. Again, a hallmark of this year's budget is hopefully using some of our pilot programs that we are experimenting with right now to provide fiber and high-speed internet to county assets to be able to extend that service beyond and eventually to the public.
Okay, moving on to our enterprise funds, our water and sewer funds. We are not anticipating any increase in sewer water service charges. Actually, the operational budget is seeing a decrease of $1.3 million. That decrease, though, is debt being paid off. So you will see a decrease in actually some of the rates for the assessment in those areas. There'll be three areas that have a decrease. Our capital budget is increased $10.1 million, and we will get into the specifics there. But what I want to focus on, there will be an increase, a proposed increase, in the system connection charge to cover the expansion cost of the treatment plants. Again, the growth should be covering the cost of those expansions. We will continue the 100-foot cap for residential customers that are current on all their bills. So moving on to connection fees. So connection fees pay for the expansion required in the treatment plant and the regional infrastructure, major pump stations and pipeline, to serve new customers. So simply, it is our impact fee to our system. So if you look up there, most of these fees are charged by other areas that have other treatment plants. But our treatment plant, the Unified Sussex County Sewer Districts, encompass our four treatment plants, and the impact fee there, we're asking that it go up $585 to $6,360. And we did a comprehensive analysis this year, like I said, looking out 20 years, looking at the growth in 20 years. What do our treatment plants need to look like, and what costs do we need to cover? So what's an impact on our system when a new customer connects? And that's a summary of our analysis below, and you can see where the transmission part is, the expansion, and then our overall connection fee. So moving on to the operations of sewer. So operations and maintenance decreased $135,000. It's relatively flat. It's 1.2% decrease. The O&M capital decreased $417,000. This is project-related, depending on what they're working on. But I have the large projects up there on the screen that you can look at. It talks about pumping equipment, vehicles, treatment disposal equipment. We're seeing an increase in administrative costs. A lot of that has to do with salaries and benefits, things like that to run the backbone. So looking at the annual assessment fees, again, these are the fees that pay the debt. So when the debt gets paid off, we have been lowering these costs. So if you look at Bethany Beach, Sussex Shores, they would be $0 this year. Their debt is paid. Same thing, Dewey Sewer would be going down to zero. West Rehoboth, they had a decrease last year. They're going to have a decrease again this year because each level of their debt has been paid off. It had some debt paid off last year, some paid off this year. And then everybody else's fees, front footage, have stayed the same. Looking at the water fund, expenses are up slightly at $229,000. There is no need to increase the rate because these are one-time expenditures for capital items. So the rate will stay the same at $305.76. And again, same as on the sewer slide, I've just highlighted some capital projects, upgrades to the distribution system. Our office needs some repairs.
All right, rounding third, headed home. Here's the capital improvements five-year snapshot for our capital improvements in the enterprise fund. This lists the projects that we have on our radar. Most important column is the 2018 column there on the left side. Those are the projects we do anticipate getting to in this year. Let me go into some detail of the last hallmark of today's budget presentation, and that is our long-term planning related to our sewer infrastructure and specifically our wastewater plants that the county owns. Listed here is the projects that really, in all honesty, most of this was started in FY17, but we will move to design and some construction in 18. So some of these numbers are in this year's budget, beginning a multi-year capital initiative, which really, in some instances, is a 10 and 20-year planning initiative to ensure that our wastewater plants are able to meet the demands of the future. In Wolfneck, we have an estimated cost of $10.5 million for its conversion. This includes a new lease with Denrec and the Division of Parks, 25-year term with renewals. This will convert the facility's disposal system from center pivot to fixed head and will allow the reforestation of the site to a natural setting in partnership with the Center for Inland Bays. At the South Coastal Regional, we have a capacity expansion project with upgrades, treatment expansion from a nominal 6 to 10 million gallons per day. We're decommissioning the treatment components of the original facility, and we will allow that conversion to equalization. At Rehoboth Beach, we will continue our long-term partnership with the City of Rehoboth. We are awaiting the approval of the permits from the Department of Natural Resources. We hope that happens fairly soon. The county will continue to utilize and pay the Rehoboth Beach wastewater treatment plant for all inclusion operational costs. At the Inland Bays, we will have a treatment and disposal expansion. This will assure the adequate treatment and disposal capacity for the next 20-year planning period. This is listed at $23.5 million and will allow us to expand our headworks, grit removal, aeration bases, clarification, and storage for an additional 2 million gallons per day capacity. Also at Inland Bays, we have our biosolids and septage upgrades, $21 million. This will create our regional biosolids and septage facilities for all of Sussex County. You will see later in today's agenda, matter of fact, agreements for your consideration with the City of Lewis and or the City of Lewis Public Works and the City of Seaford. This approved regional septage facility will also serve all of Sussex County under a consolidated self-supporting rate. And last, we will create a spray-on-demand loop and land conservation at the Inland Bays facility as well, $6.8 million. In an agreement with local farmers, we will allow them to accept our spray to create an on-demand spray loop, which will greatly enhance our seasonal facility and allow us to perform with SEC fees and limited permitting. This concludes our presentation. I do have a public service announcement before we get into questions. This presentation will be located or is located on the county's website, located at sussexcountyde.gov. We are scheduling our public hearing for this ordinance June 13, 2017. That will allow the public to come in and weigh in on today's proposed ordinances. However, they are also able to submit budget comments via the internet and an email set up at budget@sussexcountyde.gov. That email is budget@sussexcountyde.gov.
Where does that go, Todd?
That email comes into Mr. Guy, Ms. Jennings, myself, and Ms. Roth.
Okay.
Mr. President, thank you for your patience.
Any questions of council? No questions, we move right along.
Oh, Mr. Cole.
No, I just was taking some notes. Just a real quick response. We've talked over the years about, I'll rattle off these three things, like homelessness. Didn't we have some money set aside for homelessness? The drug problem we're seeing, is there a catch-all area? And also, as we heard from Senator Bunning earlier today, about maybe some funding possibly in this budget for if we see a revised, or not revised, but new interest in neighborhood watch and things like that, so we would have some funding available. Is there anything in here that would give us the ability to, if something comes down in any of these three areas, that we have funds available that we could go after? And you're saying, yes,
sure.
There is.
Sure. So there is $10,000 set aside for the homeless initiative that we've given, and that's in the community development mm-hmm. budget. As far as the other initiatives that come up, we do have money set aside in contingency for things that come.
Yeah, and approximately how much would you say?
To give to each organization?
Well, I mean, just how much money do you have this pool of funds that we could pull from in case this drug problem develops and some good ideas and the county wants to be involved? Where can we go to find funding?
There is $600,000 in a contingency account.
$600,000.
Yes.
Okay, so we could even
you're not going to spend all that.
No. Okay. That's fine. We talked, I think, about the Board of Adjustment maybe doing something over the counter where we could. Are we doing that? Any remember we were going to reduce some of the
requests for variances and
On certain things and a little like 6 inches or something like that or 12 inches on a setback. In other words, do we have the ability to do it over the counter? Are we doing that? I know we've talked about it to reduce some of the need for variances.
You are quick to point to the significant increase in variances in Board of Adjustment applications this year. We would like to be able to do that. It would require us to change county code to allow more variances over the counter.
I thought we did that.
I think there's been a consensus to do that.
Some of that we have done recently, yes. But to reduce the amount of variances, we would have to bring that back before you to change county code.
Okay. We've also...
Can you do that next week?
We can try.
Can I continue?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. We've also discussed, this council has discussed... enforcement. We're looking at ramping up on enforcement. Part of the problem we feel over the long haul has been lack of enforcement. So if we ramp up enforcement, do we have the money to be able to, if we need new hires, and like we're under the personnel department, do we have any funds there that if we had to go get some people, because we get serious, someday we will, on this enforcement issue. So anyway, is there funds available to maybe if we had to hire some people to do enforcement?
What's enforcement? You're talking about George.
Enforcement on farmers who are asking silly questions.
So I'll answer it this way, Mr. Cole. We are engaging in an internal process where we are ramping up our enforcement within planning and zoning with the help of the constable's office. What does that mean? That means we are actually going live with new technology whereby we can track enforcement cases via those mobile tablets that we never okay. used before and via a computer system that all staff can access and track these enforcement cases. Let us take that step to see how that improves the effectiveness of our enforcement initiative. I will tell you at this point, we do not have staff earmarked specifically for right. increased enforcement. I think we'll
in this budget, would we have the ability to enhance the personnel part? The people have to go out and actually physically visit a violation, not so much the electronic part, but physically going out there. Do we have some flexibility?
Have the flexibility if needed. As always with any budget, we could bring it back in and amend the budget and put more staff towards an issue if you see that necessity. That would be a council decision. Today's budget, with the proposed number of employees listed within FY18 proposal, there is not additional staff specifically earmarked for enforcement. Okay. I'd like to take a stab at this with the current staffing levels that we have, see how effective we are, get feedback from you all and the constituency.
Well, I think I'm speaking for everybody in a way, I guess there is a growing concern, I think, amongst us, some of us, most of us, that enforcement needs to be enhanced. So
for yourself, George.
Well, I am. Okay. I did. Sam doesn't think so. How about, I've raised this issue in the past. I know Mr. Rutt down there might wince, but full-time county attorney, have we put any money? Didn't we one time? I think the county's getting to a size we can do a system where we need a full-time county attorney in-house because we have so much going on and still have retained attorneys. So a combination of the system. But I'd love to see us starting to think about a full-time county attorney, because when our departments need legal help, it would be in-house, and a lot of things we could do, right? So, again, I would just, I think that we need to, you don't have to respond, but I'm just saying, I'm putting on notice now that we, I think it should be in there. I've asked before and continue to ask. Public safety with the fire companies and the ambulance people, shorthanded, we have sufficient funding for paid people on in a lot of these companies if they so desire. I know we have some, right? Aren't we giving some grants to the companies for people, right?
For full-time ambulance people. You know,
right, it doesn't get less. A lot of times we're going to see more demand, I know, in those coastal companies. Where are we with funding on that in case we had a legitimate request for help from one of the companies? Do we have any money we could go to for that?
Savings.
Right. At this point, this budget is balanced using savings. So anything like this, any new increases, we would need to come back
but
with a budget amendment.
During the course of the year, we could address a situation like that.
That's correct.
Okay. If a majority of the council.
Correct.
And the other thing on the, weren't we talking about a front footage formula, a new front footage formula for something with the sewer districts?
So this to change to EDU, we did meet with our local representatives and went over that. It is at the state level now in their hands to change state code.
Okay, so we're working to change
it.
We might not,
still moving forward.
We're working on that. The proposed language is with state legislators. We're hoping to get a bill to then seek co-sponsors of that bill and then move it through the General Assembly.
And then just one other thing here, I had one little note here. The emergency water cutoff, I just kind of triggered something in me. I had to call Bethany Beach the other day, and it was during the day, and I had a $25 fee because somebody had to go away from a job they were doing to come over and turn off this meter. Mm-hmm. I see no reason why we should be charging zero because somebody, the individual who's going to go do that emergency cutoff should be engaged in some other activity. That means that's got to get stopped or they'll be shorthanded to go do this. And sometimes it takes a little time. So I just would suggest that maybe going from whatever we were to zero. It was what?
It was 300, yes.
Well, that may be excessive, mm-hmm. but zero may be a little too far. That pendulum may have swung. So I would just challenge that as being maybe a wise thing to do. That's all, Mr. President. No, I'm tired.
You should be.
I was
any more questions of counsel?
I was taking notes.
Just a couple comments, if I may, Mr. President.
Sure, Arlette.
And that would be, first and foremost, thank you, Ms. Jennings, and thank you to the staff. It's and all the departments, because I know it's not an easy task each and every year to do this and to attempt to try to do more with perhaps in some cases less. So I want to commend everybody involved in the process because it's an important process that we be efficient and effective to the taxpayers and we'd be good stewards of their money. I mean, bottom line. So I just wanted to publicly again thank you for that. A couple of thoughts. I think this budget continues to show the county's importance of public safety. With all of those that we partner, and also, of course, those in-house, our own paramedics in the 911 group. But I have to share with you, it is of concern for me. I've said this before, that the state of Delaware has come to us and is asking us to provide them with a 30% increase as it relates to the partnership to the Delaware State Police Agreement, without adding one additional policeman. That is of great concern to me. And in the end, yes, we have to work together. Yes, we will continue to partner with them. But it's their responsibility. If I could be any more blunt, than that, and the fact that they're asking us to increase 30%, which is a pretty significant number, to the tune of $678,000, without adding one additional patrolman to the road, is a challenge. So the question that I would have, if this council decides not to do that, I know you alluded that it would give them basically, quote unquote, 17. So has the Delaware State Police said, if we do not pass this additional dollars, that they will reduce the police force in this county? Have they said that?
No, they have not.
So right now, they just come with a request and nothing more than that.
I would say that's accurate.
So I think we need to have more dialogue as it relates to that. You know, we lean on him, and this county has grown population-wise very significant over the last, you know, 5-10 years in population, i.e. additional revenues to the state. And I'm not so sure we're getting the increase of protection as it relates to that increase in population. And it's not the Delaware State Police, it's the legislature and the governors. So I'll make sure I separate that from the Delaware State Police Department as it relates to who makes the decisions on their budget. And it's not them, it's the legislature. So that is of great concern to me. I'm not sure where it's going to go, but when somebody comes to you and asks for a 30% increase with no additional anything, is problematic to me. No further comments, Mr. President.
You sure?
No, I'm not, but okay, at this moment, ahead. No further.
Told me he was going to keep talking until you came back.
I'm glad I came back in a hurry then. Any more comments, questions from council?
We have to be very careful on this realty transfer tax. And back in 2000, and what year was this? 2010?
Mm-hmm.
Nine, we were cleared down about 13 million. We went from 35 to 13. So we're not very careful. We can't really depend on this kind of money. This past year, we dropped from 25 down to 24.1, so we're on our way, could be on our way down again. So we'll be very careful how we're spending this extra money. It's just been, it just seemed like just getting rid of it. What's the understanding about the center pivot, Mr. Lawson?
Center pivot.
So the reference to center pivot is the Wolfneck conversion at the Wolfneck Regional Wastewater Facility, where we have approximately 300 acres right now under center pivot irrigation. We've entered into an arrangement with the state to move from center pivot irrigation and traditional farming operations at that facility to what's called fixed head spray operations. It's a jumbo garden fixed head spray configuration across those 300 acres. As you recall, a couple years ago in February, the Wolfneck facility suffered from treated wastewater runoff, and it was a combination of a bad winter, but also the inability to work with contract farming operation.
Too wet for wheels to go around, as much trouble as.
Say again?
Too wet for wheels to go around.
Too wet for the wheels to go around. And of course, when it rains, that rain gets captured in the lagoon, which also has to be sprayed as well. And then the ground during winter season is not optimal to be sprayed on. But moving from the farming operation is what's key, because right now we lost 125 days of spraying on that facility due to weather or farming scheduling issues.
And so maybe we should go more to grass instead of plowing up all the time, right?
But we want a tree.
That conversion is going to be grass and trees. So we will move away from farming operation totally at that facility over the next, we're estimating, 5 years.
And that'll be a savings, correct, right? When just to eliminate, we don't need a farmer then. That we're paying to come in and do the farming, right? Will that eliminate that?
In a way, yes. In a way.
Well, maybe not with grass, but with trees, right? Trees don't need a lot of attention.
In a way, there is the arrangement is such that the county would see some savings, but really it's the operational side of this, to be able to more efficiently dispose of our wastewater at that facility. It is a difficult facility at some points due to weather and farming inconveniences.
Any more questions of council?
From my understanding, I don't think we're paid to have pay a farmer yet to farm this piece of ground, have we? Have we ever had to pay a farmer to do any farming on this, on the land that's set aside for the wastewater?
Yes, we have. When each facility, Inland Bays and Wolfneck facility, there is each one has a farmer that has a lease, and that lease is.
And most time they pay us, correct?
Correct, but we actually have to pay the state to access the farms to spray on those fields. Now, the farmer's paying to farm the lands as well. So it's a triangle arrangement at Wolf Neck between the county, the state, and the farmer.
I didn't know that before. So we're actually losing money. We're giving money to the state
to access the farm
our property for us.
Correct.
Doesn't sound like good sense, does it?
It adds to the inconvenience.
Now, you're talking about while we're going to raise fees on marriage license, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. We don't lose money.
We're still going to give military the free ride, right?
Correct. That's not going to change. Military would not.
As far as that's yes. What I was hoping.
Yes. And more questions of council.
Now, I understand the...
Wilson. You're sure up.
Try to keep up George a little bit.
Go ahead. You take your time, then.
You almost made me forget what I was going to say. How about the broadband? That's about $1 million you're saying we're spending?
That's correct. We have a pilot program right now that we are accessing fiber that the state put in the Lewis area. We've spent about $80,000 to connect our facilities in the Lewis area, and I can get you information. I don't have it in front of me right now, but suffice it to say, we are able to eliminate these contracts we have with private providers to provide internet service to our wastewater facility and our paramedic station, and now county-run fiber accessing state fiber is providing high-speed internet at a greater speed and at less cost.
Is this up about $3,500? What's the speed of?
I'll have to get you that information.
Reason I'm asked that because I see it on television all the time. That's easy to just tie into satellites at a very, very expensive cost.
In other words, we're
spending millions of dollars for what? For missing a satellite?
Well, and let me be clear, the initiative for broadband and fiber and the money earmarked there is not just to get to small pockets within the county. We think we can access state and privately owned fiber lines already in existence and start to create these pockets of broadband service. And if we RFP for the services, the last provider that will give service to the household will actually come in and pay the county, perhaps, to access some of our fiber.
I don't quite understand when you say small pockets.
So we believe if we put infrastructure on some of the county-owned communications towers, some of the radios that we would utilize could provide service within mile circles of that tower, sometimes 1 to 5 miles. That would create a pocket of service. So anyone within that service range that would be able to receive that signal could access that high-speed internet.
Probably Mr. Thomas Becker could better explain than I can, because anyway, from what I understand, when I look at the RDF, they say that you can put up satellites and you get all these pockets easy, very economical. I'm not talking about millions of dollars. And taxpayers' money is what I'm trying to look at. Why spending millions of dollars when we don't have to? We can get around such things as. Okay, thank you, Mr. President.
You're more than welcome. Anything else from council? I think you have some ordinances to introduce, Ms. Jennings.
Yes.
You'll come back up here.
Yes, we have 5 ordinances.
Oh, you can do it down there. Okay.
I have it right here.
That's fine.
So the first ordinance is an ordinance establishing the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2018. Just need an introduction.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Cole introduces it.
Okay. Next one, an ordinance establishing annual service charges, annual assessment rates for collection and transmission and or treatment, and the connection charges for all Sussex County water and sanitary sewer districts.
I'll introduce that.
Mr. Cole introduces it.
An ordinance to amend Chapter 103, Article 4, Section 103-19D of the Code of Sussex County to limit the first-time home buyer transfer tax exception to the grantees one-half of the Sussex County Realty Transfer Tax.
I'll introduce that.
I'll introduce it.
and an ordinance to amend Chapter 103, Article 4, 103-29.1 of the Code of Sussex County to modify Sussex County's realty transfer tax distribution to incorporated municipalities which do not collect realty transfer tax or which collect realty transfer tax but receive less than $20,000 in revenue during any fiscal year.
Introduce that one, too.
Paul introduced it.
All right, last one. An ordinance to amend Chapter 62, Article 5, Section 62-16 of the Code of Sussex County to conform to the Delaware Code, which prohibits civil unions as of July 1st, 2013, to increase fees charged by the Clerk of the Peace to perform marriage ceremonies outside the office of the Clerk of the Peace for Sussex County, and to institute a fee to record each marriage with the Marriage Bureau.
I'll introduce
it. Nicole introduces it.
Thank
We're good.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of council.
Glad I showed up.
I'm telling you, you're getting something done today.